Do you realize that on this day in 1969, more than 600 million television sets around the world were all tuned to watch a single event? It's called the most significant event ever recorded by television cameras. It was the Apollo 11 moon landing. 56 years ago, this very day, for the first time, mankind walked on the moon. It was the conclusion of a commitment that had been made at the beginning of the decade, that by the end, we would land on the moon. Three men traveled 250,000 miles in a tiny capsule that carried them from the Earth to the moon. Two of them, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, would be the first men ever to set foot on the moon. It was a phenomenal technological achievement. We continue to be blessed today by the technology that was developed for this moon landing that has affected us medically and technologically and in terms of IT, so many things because of that commitment. Neil Armstrong was the first astronaut who led the way down. He went down the ladder, he stepped on the surface of the moon, and as his foot touched the ground, he declared, "This is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." If you're old enough, then that phrase is burned into your brain because it was just that significant an event. Without a doubt, he had thought long and hard about what he should say at that historic moment. Buzz Aldrin, who would accompany him to the moon's surface, also thought seriously about what he wanted to do when they arrived at the surface of the moon. But what he did took place before they exited the lunar lander and out of the sight of television. You see, Buzz Aldrin was a serious follower of Jesus Christ. He was an elder at the Webster Presbyterian Church in Houston. And as they landed on the moon, and he thought about one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind, he also wanted to do something during that historic event to acknowledge the fact that Jesus is the Creator and the King of the universe, the Redeemer of all those who place their trust in Him. So before they launched from the earth, he went to his church and asked them to provide what he would need as he landed on the moon. And they provided exactly the right thing. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Think about what you just heard. The Lord's Supper, the first food eaten, the first drink consumed on the face of the moon. An incredibly meaningful expression of faith. But what they did in 1969 is no more significant than what we're preparing to share together in just a few moments. How can I tell you that the Lord's Supper that served at First Baptist in Birmingham today is just as significant as what took place as we just watched it on the screen? It's just as significant because of what the Lord's Supper signifies. Matthew 26:28, Jesus told his disciples, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." In a few moments, when we gather together to share in the Lord's Supper on this July 20th, 2025, we will remember that the Lord's Supper is a symbol of the new covenant, something that fulfilled and replaced the old covenant. Following that time in the upper room, believers would no longer observe Passover. Instead, we would gather and share in the Lord's Supper. Not because it was a rejection of the old, but because it was a completion of the old covenant. The need for constant sacrifices was replaced by that one perfect sacrifice when Jesus went to the cross with a broken body and shed blood. He became the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. The old covenant was all about the law, the commandments that God had given through Moses to tell people what holy living looked like. To be right with God, you had to keep the law flawlessly. And that was the problem. Nobody was able to do that. Not one single person. And so the sacrifices had to go on over and over and over in a pursuit for the forgiveness of sin. But Jesus came to bring the new covenant, one that came from his broken body and his spilled blood. One that said, from now on, nothing else is necessary because what I have done for you is enough. The difference between the old covenant and the new covenant can be described as the difference between the words do and done. The old covenant was based upon what you had to do in an attempt to make yourself right with God. The new covenant was based upon what Christ has done to make you right with God. It's all about Him. And what we do this morning is so very significant because the power of that first Lord's Supper continues on through today and will through eternity. It is the power of God. That's why Matthew tells us that the Lord's Supper is a symbol of remission. Jesus said his sacrifice was for the remission of sins. You know what remission means? Remission is kind of one of those church words, isn't it? It's a word you hear here, but you don't hear it anywhere else. And so you wonder, what in the world are we talking about when we talk about the remission of sin? And very simply, it means this: to make a debt go away. To remove it completely and absolutely. So that no one can ever tell you you need to pay that debt again. Not just for a little while, but for all eternity. When remission is offered, the power of sin is absolutely broken. The stain is removed. The power of death is destroyed. Remission is a total expression of perfect grace that can only come from Jesus himself. And that's what makes the Lord's Supper so sacred. This is this place where we remember and symbolize the remission of sin through Jesus. Nothing that's ever happened on this planet or in this universe can compare to the power of the broken body and the spilled blood. It is his sacrifice that removes your sin and grants you everlasting life. And that's why today we come to the table of the Lord and participate together in something that is just as significant as what we saw on the screens a few moments ago. How do I know it's true? Because 1 Corinthians 11:26 declares this: for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. When we share the Lord's Supper, our actions declare the gospel, the greatest news that the world could ever hear. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And Jesus is coming for his own. And wherever you are, there's no more important message you can proclaim. It is a memorable statement, One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But how much more significant to say, as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. So I invite you in a moment to share in the table of the Lord. It's available to all who belong to Jesus and trust Him as Savior. Remember that His broken body and His blood were poured out for you. Remember the remission of your sins. Remember the power of the gospel. And receive it all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Let's prepare to share in the Lord's Supper. Deacons, will you join me here at the front?